All right, we're in Visual Studio World again. Jason, how are you?
Doing great.
Jason Zander, you're the GM of Visual Studio?
Yep, general manager for Visual Studio. So all of our Express products, Pro and Team System, all the rest of that. So.
Excellent. Last time you and I actually talked, you ran the CLR team and we took a tour.
Yeah.
And met all the big brands there. So yeah, congratulations, you're a GM now, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The tour thing kicked off pretty well, too. I think you guys did like a bunch of tours. Yeah, so I thought that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, so switched over to Visual Studio probably about, I don't know, 18 months ago, something along those lines, after being a GM in .NET Framework and that sort of area and stuff like that. But having fun doing the tools side of the house now.
Excellent. So speaking of tools, you know, it's 2009 and Visual Studio 2008. One of the things we don't really kind of focus on because we get so caught up in the technology and the features and things like this is how are people actually using today's product? I mean, what kind of telemetry do you have? I mean, are they taking advantage of all the cool features we've documented over the past couple of years? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, we've seen a good uptick on 2008 and a lot of people kind of buying that product. Especially around some of our application lifecycle management work, the ALM stuff that we've got with Team System. We introduced, obviously, new features like Link and things like that in the last version with the new languages, C# and Visual Basic. So we've got a bunch of brand new technology in there that came out in 2008. Seems a good uptick on that sort of usage of people producing new products. Definitely have a bunch of features that people aren't necessarily taking advantage of yet that they could.
Okay. So, what are some of these?
Well, one example that we've got TFS, Team Foundation Server, and we've got source control, work item tracking, we've got builds, all the rest of that kind of stuff. So there's definitely benefit in there if you're upgrading from, for example, Visual Studio or Visual Source Safe, for example. I just have source code control. I move over to TFS, then you get not only source code control when scaling the server in there, but the builds as well as full work item tracking, so like bugs and defects and features and that kind of stuff. With 2008, we added some additional features on top of that. Continuous integration is another good example of that. So if you're working in a mode where it's me, you, three other people, and we're kicking out builds, you'd like to be able to constantly take the changes that are coming through, push those through the system, get builds out there, get testing going, making sure that's kind of a regular sort of thing you do as opposed to an exceptional thing. And we've built in some really nice support for that.
Excellent.
So that's one thing. In addition to that, we do have a full range of very good caliber load testing tools. So say you're building a website, you're going to go publish that thing out there. You actually have a website.
Yep.
So it turns out that you guys are using this, but other people could be using load testing as well. It gives you the opportunity to simulate a lot of users hitting your site, find out whether you've got the right infrastructure, find out whether or not your code scales the right kind of way, things like that as well. The next thing we did is in 2008, you have this really great feature for accessing TFS, which is website access. So you actually don't have to go and install all of Visual Studio on your machine. If you want to look at, for example, what bugs do I have assigned to me and what kind of our active rates and things like that, we actually give you web access right in the browser. So just go to the browser, HTTP, name a TFS server, boom, you land on the homepage.
Nice.
Then I can start getting access to that. We also give you access to your bugs and other sort of data through Excel. So you can actually point Excel at TFS, pull down your data, make bulk edits, stuff like that as well.
Excellent.
So those are just a few sort of examples. There's check-in policies that you can go after. We made, improvements in profiling, improvements in code analysis. We even released a feature pack for MFC, so you can even go write, if you have an MFC application, you can go off and write an Office-style ribbon on top of that. Go download that for 2008. It gives you that opportunity as well. So
Excellent.
Those are a few interesting features there.
Certainly. And, of course, the F# plugin.
Yes, we did make F# available, and we have F# and we'll integrate that into future products going forward, but we have F# available, you can download that, and a lot of people are very interested in that for functional programming.
Absolutely. Excellent, man. So one other thing about F# is, with Dev 10 Beta 1 coming out, they're integrated, as you mentioned.
Yep.
You also can use that same code, that same binary or plugin in Visual Studio 2008. So if you have Visual Studio 2008, you can use the new F# when it comes out.
Yep.
Because I think it's a good plan, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, it should make it really easy if you're writing, that kind of code. I mean, it's a nice functional language. Obviously, if you're a mathematical sort of person, you can look at the syntax that you're using, and it feels very natural. Works right inside of the box there. We have other plugins as well that you can download and run with Visual Studio 2008. So, for example, we have a bunch of web technologies, both Silverlight tooling as well as the new MVC, you know, Model View Controller framework that's out there. Those plug in and run inside of 2008. Our Azure tooling that we're doing for Azure, you know, Azure kind of announced the last PDC. Mm-hmm. If people are interested in trying that out, we have plugins for 2008 there. And I should mention on the website, we did do a bunch of work around JavaScript as well in 2008. Mm-hmm. Dynamic, you know, IntelliSense sort of features, better debugging, you know, a whole bunch of additional work like that. So if you build a lot of websites, do any client-side scripting, we have a really great solution for that. IntelliSense is hard in that kind of language, right? Because everything's untyped.
Exactly.
We actually sit there and we figure out what variable we infer that you're actually using, and we give you types that match, and methods that match the type, I should say. You know, things like that.
Excellent. So I guess one question I'd ask, you know, sort of since you're, you know, you're a GM, you've always been releasing important products. For, you know, developers out there, when, you know, how do we, like, temper excitement for what's coming and really take advantage for what we have? For example, I could see getting in this sort of endless loop where you just want to wait for the next thing. You just keep waiting and you're not getting anything done.
Yeah.
So how does that work from your kind of stratospheric?
And, you know, this, you know, I'm so conflicted on this. I will tell you that because I will probably always be a developer at heart, which is why I really love, you know, this job and this division, the developer division. As a developer, I love the new innovations we're coming out with. I've spent probably the last 18 months actually on the next version of Visual Studio. So, of course, the beta is ready to go. I'm ready to just jump out there and talk about it. You know, I love it. It's really kind of cool. On the other hand, there is a significant amount of value in the products that we have. And one of the interesting things is one of the best ways to get prepared for the new versions coming out is not, wow, here's this big new thing with tons of stuff. Because, boy, we have a ton of new stuff coming out. We'll chat about that later, too. But, you know, we have that coming. It's you get everything deployed and take advantage of what's there. I think that getting TFS installed, for example, in the enterprise, start and use the work item tracking, use the build systems that are there, the continuous integrations. Like when you get that kind of system in place, man, it solves just a ton of problems that you've already got in the first place. So again, conflicted because I love the new stuff and I love to talk about the new stuff. I also want to make sure that people are able to take advantage of the products that we have. That's something we always kind of struggle with, how to make sure we're giving both messages.
Absolutely. So with Visual Studio 2008, what kind of, you know, sort of developer telemetry have you gotten? Like, are people really stoked? I mean, did they see a real value add for 2005? Is it more performant, better debugging, all this kind of stuff? I mean, what kind of information do you get?
Yeah, we've done a number of things. The Visual Studio 2008 itself was designed to essentially build on top of the same .NET framework stacks that we had. So we've got those. There was improvements made with the SP1s of .NET Framework 3.5, so we target all that new functionality. We added the multi-targeting functionality in there. That made it easier for people to pick up the new version and say, well, look, you know, my clients or my enterprise, wherever I'm at, is still using 2.0. I'm going to be able to use the new version to target that. So that was the first version we introduced that. That's made it easier for the upgrades. We added some of the productivity features around, especially around the language. You know, things like language integrated query or link was a big thing that we added to that. But also some of the work around, like I mentioned, the web with JavaScript and easier use for that. So I think if you were building a website, I've talked to a number of customers like, wow, this is great. I mean, I've been looking for something to make it easier to author JavaScript, and you're helping me with that. So we've got customers moving that direction. Mm-hmm. And again, on the ALM side, I think, you know, things like continuous integration, check-in policies, things like that, that takes you to the next level. And I've talked to a number of, you know, we've got folks that have, like, you know, I got 10 people working on a work group. We have developers. We have testers. You know, how do I kind of make all that stuff go and make certain that new builds are coming out all the time? I'm catching failures when they get in there. I'm kind of hitting my project targets on time and stuff like that. Continuous integrations and the check-in policies is actually incredibly helpful for that.
Interesting. So, I mean, let's talk about TFS. I mean, of course, Brian Keller, who everyone knows in Channel 9 land, is, you know, definitely a TFS evangelist and co-host of the Channel 9 show. You know, what, you know, who's that targeting, right? I mean, you mentioned 10 people, enterprises. What's your customer target for TFS anyway?
Yeah, TFS.
How far can it scale? When is it too big?
We have TFS itself. When you get into team design and things like that, clearly that's what we're targeting. We actually use TFS ourselves in developer division.
Wow.
We've got thousands of people on it, right? Just across the board. So we have. I can even send you the stats. In fact, if you look at Brian Harry's blog, he actually blogs the stats on a regular basis. Even this morning, we got a new update on what that is, so he'll probably blog pretty quickly after this. We use TFS across the company. We have users in Office, we have users in Windows, we have users in MSN, and then we're a heavy dog fooder ourselves, use our own dog food essentially, inside a developer division. So the Visual Studio 2010 Data Framework 4 products are being built with TFS.
Nice.
We track our features using it, we use our source code control using it, we use all those features that are in there. So at that point, you're talking about scaling up to thousands of people. And we have over 15 terabytes worth of data in our database. I'll share that with you. Numbers of projects and stuff like that. So it is designed to scale very high.
Excellent.
Now, again, we also have folks that are working in an environment where maybe I'm doing a 10-month project for a client, and there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 of us working together, a combination of developers, maybe some architecture and some testers. We got 10 months to produce an application for a client. Those folks would also use TFS. So it's not that it doesn't work for that size of an effort, too. The advantage I'm getting is you and I can share all of our state. And unlike having to have a system for source control, a system for, work items or bugs, another system for doing all the builds, we've actually integrated all these things together.
Excellent.
And so that really is like the key thing that makes this work really well.
And you guys, like everything, there's an API surface on it, right? So
yes, that's correct. So it was built with extensibility from the ground up. So check-in policy, for example, we have some default stuff that we've added to make it simple for you. But if you'd like to go in and add custom things, the APIs are there and it's published. The object model for programming against the TFS, kind of repository is there as well. So if you want to write custom things that comb through that, you can do it. Same thing goes for writing with inside of Office and using that object model there. Mm. Yeah, we enable a bunch of that stuff ourselves.
Awesome. So is there an ecosystem that's forming? I mean, are companies actually building products and selling them?
There are. So TFS. For example, we have a number of folks that are doing that. We actually ship a bunch of this stuff up on the VS Gallery site, http://vsgallery.com. You can search for a number of VSIP partners across the board. In TFS in particular, we have third parties that are offering things like, the Team Prize is offering a plugin for Eclipse. So if you happen to be an Eclipse developer out there and you want to use TFS and you're a mixed shop where you have a little bit of Java and a little bit of .NET and you want to work in that mode, we have vendors even doing that kind of thing. And in addition to a bunch of plugins specifically around TFS itself.
Excellent. So when we think about product life cycles and stuff, I mean, if you look at the usage of, say, Windows today, you still have some people that are using Windows 2000. A lot of people are using Windows XP, and then definitely a lot of people are going to go to Windows 7. How does that work in your world? Because it's certainly a smaller product. It's not an operating system. It doesn't support. It's not a platform that supports millions of applications and drivers. So what is it? What's the typical turnaround when, you announced 2008 and it's been a year? I mean, a lot of people moving from 2005, or do you still have sort of a fair amount of 2005ers?
Oh, we definitely have a big base of 2005, absolutely. But I am actually seeing a good uptick in 2008 as well. I mean, we got new features coming through. The key thing there, again, was the multi-targeting, because you now have the ability to, if you like the features that are in 2008, it makes your life easier. But you still, need to, because of your environment, target, for example, Data Framework 2.0, maybe that's what's deployed in your enterprise. Yes, you can build that with 2005. You can also go buy, 2008, get the new features in the IDE and the dev tools, and in your projects, just change the combo box down to, I'm targeting to that, Data Framework 2.
Yeah.
Right? And now we did things with multi-targeting, like adjusting your IntelliSense so that it only gives you the namespaces that are in the version of the framework you're actually targeting.
Sure.
That way you don't accidentally take advantage of new APIs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So as a developer, I can upgrade my tool set, use the new stuff, and if my enterprise isn't ready yet, that's okay.
Excellent, man. And of course, you get the great debugging in 2008, get increase in performance,
yep.
Various other sort of low-level things that you've done.
Yep, all those features that we got in there.
Awesome. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about 2010, right? Since Beta 1 is announced. And, you know, what are some of the things that you're really excited about, and how did you sort of evolve them out of 2008?
Yeah.
In some sense.
Yeah. And this is where I do the kid in the candy store kind of thing. You know, as an engineer, it's like, wow, this is a huge release. I've got, you know, details on my blog, actually, with the Beta 1 announced. You know, and I've actually got a couple of tutorial and walkthroughs where I'm going to show off a bunch of the sort of features. We have new stuff in Visual Studio 2010 just across the board. We've got a little bit of everything in there. So let me walk through some of the basics. First of all, we are adding formal SharePoint tooling. So if you're a developer writing for SharePoint, and that's been a little bit hard to do in the past, let's put it that way, we have enabled what you would expect out of Visual Studio, which is file new project, you know, SharePoint Explorer, to go explore your SharePoint and figure out what my lists are and, you know, all the rest of those sort of things. And you can just program against it, you know, very easily. Excellent. So if you know VB, you know Visual Studio, you know, you're writing for SharePoint, it's going to feel like that. Deploying to a SharePoint server, it's like, you know, a lot of steps today. Right now it's just F5.
Boom. Awesome.
And there it goes, right? That's what you expect.
Yeah.
Right? So we've got, you know, that functionality built in. The next thing that we've done is we've added a lot of additional support around some of the cloud tooling sort of pieces. So we do have support for Azure. Some of those tools will come as plugins with Azure itself, as I mentioned before. But that's a good example of bridging from 2008 to 2010, where you'll have some basic functionality in 2008 and we'll work on the Azure kind of ship schedule. We'll come out with the next round of tooling inside of 2010 to get some new value out of that as well.
Excellent.
We did some improvements in some of the things I just mentioned before. The JavaScript editing that we've done, we added a bunch of really great stuff. In 2010, we've now tweaked the performance, and we've tried to give you even more features. For example, we're shipping jQuery in the box. A lot of developers on client side use jQuery as their kind of toolkit library for writing, you know, Ajax kind of you know, client apps. We have IntelliSense support for jQuery built in, so it's really simple and straightforward. We did a lot of productivity work in the editor, so we did code focus work. So I can do things, if you like to follow an agile methodology and you're using test driven, you can actually write out what your APIs, you know, kind of what do I want to call before it exists. I can do kind of consume first and then define later. You can go ahead and pick up your favorite mocking framework. You can write unit tests against that. Do your testing first, see the results, you know, kind of go back and forth in that direction. We enable that entire kind of cycle. So if you like that methodology, we've got support in the box for you. Okay, so these are all changes, and frankly, I haven't even made it through all of the pro features. These are just a few examples in the pro feature set.
Sure.
Now, if we walk up into the team system side, we've done a bunch of work there as well. We just recently announced the Microsoft Test and Lab Manager tooling that we have. One of the problems you may have today is, you know, you and I are using Visual Studio, the whole product, you know, architecture, you know, dev, and test, and things like that. Construct test cases. I have an architecture. I, you know, implement it. I test it and create test cases. I may also be working with testers that are going off on lots of boxes, and they're doing the test cases against builds and things like that. So this new tool allows us to essentially do that without the full environment, this Test and Lab Manager product. I can manage test cases, create test cases, actually run them on machines, report them back into TFS for failures, and, you know, things like that as well.
Awesome.
And it also works with our lab management product. So if you're working with virtualization and you're trying to create virtual images and manage those, we do all sorts of work with that. So, interesting workflow that we've enabled across these. How many times have you had a case where you're writing some code, and then, you know, as a tester, I test it, I find an issue with it, file a bug, you get it back, you open it up, and you're like, eh, it doesn't repro for me. Works fine, right? I mean, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
So we made this theme through the product to say, how would I get rid of that? Or not get rid of it, but, I mean, make it so much simpler to not run into that problem. Give us more data. You and I, dev and test, how do we make that work? So if I use the test product, for example, I can run through the steps. You can now record a video. So like as I'm actually testing, you as a developer, mm-hmm. we can automatically record a WMV file so you can actually see what I've done. We can go through each of the steps, and I can mark them pass or fail or things like that. If I hit a failure, I can also take a screen snapshot. So if I don't want the video, it's too big, it takes too much space or time, whatever, you can take snapshots of that. But I can record all the steps that I've taken. I can file those inside of a bug. And we do all of the automatic filing for you.
Nice. Right?
So once it fails, you just say, create a bug, take a snapshot. Yep, here's the screenshot. Write a bug, write a description. We automatically take everything you did during the session, if you recorded WMV or all your coded UI testing or things like that, if you took snapshots, all the rest of the sort of stuff get in there. We file it back in TFS, and we can include historical debugging information too.
Nice.
Kind of like a, think of a DVR for the process.
Yeah.
Right, I want to rewind. Tell me, what exactly did you do? Let me open to the debugger and rewind back. Okay, you did this and this and, you know, like that kind of stuff. Once the thing gets filed, all this data, including the machine names, the build numbers, the steps that I took, the things that are failing, all the stuff essentially is collected for you, filed in TFS, and now you as a developer, when you go back to look at this, you now have access to all of that stuff.
Excellent.
So if you're trying to figure out, you can just even crack the historical debugging, mm-hmm. go back and figure out, well, what exactly did you do when you pressed the button, the thing crashed, and you know, mm-hmm. hopefully now you're able to fix the bug even quicker. So that's one interesting workflow through there. We've added on top of that, if you want to go use it, if you're running in an environment where virtualization is a key part of what you're doing, mm-hmm. the Lab Manager part also plugs into this, which means that when I do the testing, I can set up virtual machines for the web tier as well as the data tier and the client tier, define all of those. I can have our automated builds actually provision and install the builds on top of those machines for you. Now I can run the test cases through that, and if I hit a failure, now when I mark, here's a bug, we actually record the information about the VMs that you were using when they were executing. And as a developer, when you go back and open it up and you say, well, that's weird, I see all your steps, I got the trace log, I see the crash, but I don't know what the bug is, I'd like to repro it myself. One of the files that's in there is actually the descriptor for the VMs. You can actually double-click it, and you can actually say, I would like the same environment that Jason was running on when he tested this.
Nice.
Poof, it pops it up. You can actually now walk it through in the debugger. See what I'm saying?
So it's amazing.
Yeah, that's a huge amount. There's a lot in there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And like I said, I probably have covered maybe 60% of the product, maybe 70%. Mm-hmm. We have additional improvements, for example, in Team Arch as well. So you can do architectural diagrams. We have full support for UML, sequence diagramming, all the rest of that sort of stuff. So if you're doing architecture, you know, work across the board there as well. New language features, I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
We've touched most parts of the product to improve them and add new value.
That's awesome. Very cool. So Rico Mariani's working out, huh? I mean, he's a long time. Back in the day, man. He's on
back in the
as well.
CLR when we did the tour.
You got it.
Yeah, Rico Mariani. I love Rico. He's I've actually asked Rico to sit down on the dev on this Visual Studio 2010 product and really concentrate a lot of his work on performance, because it is one of the things that I heard back. I also revealed this new UI from 2010. We're using WPF, the editor's that, the shell is using WPF,
awesome.
All the rest of it. So it's really cool. The first builds that you see in the beta, you're not even going to realize how much we can do with it, because you know, we concentrated on getting it moved over and getting the editor in place. Partners are already starting to write really amazing plugins. We have demos where I can drag JPEGs into your source code. It's still your source code, it's still a text file. You could open up in Notepad tomorrow if you want. You know, but it uses like /// comments and stuff like that, so I can actually mix and match and,
wow.
and dash. There's a bunch of cool stuff like that. So we've done all that work in there, and so when Beta 1 comes out, you'll see a bunch of the promise that's in there. The one thing, I wish we were better off where we're at on perf for Beta 1. So I think people will see that, and they'll look at it and say, okay, this is cool, there's great features, I want it snappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a lot of feedback on my blog about that. So I have actually put more people on performance, and I actually asked Rico to spend almost full time. Rico's the performance dude, right?
Oh,
so,
man,
I've got him like poking under rocks and looking around the corners, and what are you guys doing here? And he's doing custom trace tools and the whole nine yards. So performance will be there, and that's we've got Rico working on that.
That's awesome. So speaking of performance, I mean, machines with 2 4-cores, 8 4-cores, and, 5-6 gigs of RAM, 8 gigs of RAM. Those are kind of becoming more typical for developers.
Yeah.
So in some sense, you guys must be, really doing some concurrent programming. What I'm trying to ask is, Rico and company can work on performance. How much are you doing with taking advantage of multiple cores? Yep. How's that for the question?
Yeah. So, I mean, and there's kind of two answers, you know, or two interesting vectors on this one that are interesting to discuss. One of those is, what are we doing inside of Visual Studio? I mean, essentially, we are big, you know, I am a big ISV, is a, you know, Visual Studio itself. I am an ISV, right? So I'm an app. I've got an environment. So we're using, you know, CLR Threat Pool and other sort of things, like, because we are a managed application. In addition, we have both C++ and unmanaged code. We have C# and managed code. When you run Visual Studio itself, it is a hybrid application that has both of those in there. Mm-hmm. So we do use thread pools and things like that to parallelize work that we're doing. We do background parsing and a whole bunch of things like that. We're looking at adding some lazy loads through some of our solutions, so folks with big projects, we can kind of figure out how to make that work better. Mm-hmm. So we do use some of that compute functionality in the same way that we added multi-monitor support, so I can, you know, kind of drag from one monitor to the other. We're trying to take advantage of those trends. Better, you know, better hardware in the box, more ability to have screen real estate, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. The other vector that's interesting to talk about here is the new parallel features that we've built that I didn't mention, I neglected to mention the 2010 overview. We have done a bunch of work there as well. So we have support at the programming library level, both for managed and for unmanaged code, where we've written a bunch of parallel extensions to the system. And we do task-based scheduling, user mode, you know, essentially all the way up into the tooling area where we've written advanced profiling and debugging support. Excellent. So that when you use those systems, you can make it work. Our goal here is to get you to the point where if you take a common algorithm, you don't have to go write very complicated code with lots of locks and semaphores and, you know, frankly, that's hard to do, yeah. Right? So, like, one of the best things I can show you is in C++, if you have a compute-bound, you know, kind of piece of code with multiple loops and things like that, well, we all know what iterators are, you know, like for each item, go do something.
Sure.
That happens serially on top of my CPU. Okay, we decided to add syntax extensions that are kind of the equivalent of for each CPU, schedule a loop. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, and so the syntax changes from being a for loop to parallel.for, mm-hmm. Right? But that loop now, it says, okay, what the library makes the call and says, you know, start making these work on cores. That's what I'd love to go see. Yeah. So that's a simpler programming paradigm for that. It doesn't obviously work for every algorithm and I don't mean to over-trivialize it, mm-hmm. But that's like the essence of what we're going for. Then once you've scheduled that work and you've made it simpler for it to actually run on all the cores, then we have the debugger that allows you to inspect it. So you're not just looking at a thread view, but you can look at tasks. Same thing for trying to figure out your profiles, because at this point you may be scheduling thousands of work items. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through 1,000 line items on the threads view.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I need a higher level tool. So that's a bunch of stuff we have in 2010.
Absolutely. The PCP team, Parallel Computing Platform.
Parallel Computing team. Guys, yep, absolutely.
We've had a lot of conversations with them on 9. They're doing some really cool work.
Yeah, it is pretty neat.
I also like the Axum language that those guys just threw out there for people to test. It's an interesting experiment.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing about, you know, Axum, as well as we took the opportunity to put it on Developer Labs, right? And so with our DevDiv Labs work, we're actually trying to be good about, you know, we have some of these really interesting ideas. You know, some of them, maybe they're crazy. Maybe we never actually ship them.
Yeah.
Some of them are more conceptual research, you know, kind of thing, stuff like that. But we created DevDiv Labs. We had a forum in which we could post that, get feedback. You tell us which ideas do you like. Does it make sense to you? Some of them will just leave in the research kind of space and we'll never productize them. Other ones, if they look super interesting, we'll pull them back into the product and, you know, we'll actually make them part of the product going forward.
Awesome, man. Well, I have to say, Visual Studio is an amazing product. I've spent a lot of my life at Microsoft inside of it.
Yes.
And it's really wonderful to see it evolve. And, you know, I'm using 2008 myself. In fact, I was just writing some code using some research stuff for a new feature on Channel 9 that they may see at some point.
Oh, cool.
But
I'd love to see that.
It's incredibly fast. It doesn't crash, doesn't hang. I mean, it really is nice, man, and I appreciate that. Because, you know, the iterations, they get better over time, right? That's the story.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
It's cool to come back and see you again, man. Just out of curiosity, what is it like, you know, running something? I mean, the CLR base class libraries certainly were big projects.
Yeah.
But this is enormous because this is like, takes all that stuff and puts it into a single environment with lots of moving parts.
Yep.
What is it like managing this place?
Yeah, the big difference for me is I've spent a lot of time in technologies, you know, the base, ODBC, you know, distributed SQL, you know, a bunch of work like that, and then CLR and work along those lines. Couple things different here, you know, order of magnitude with respect to the size of the org, just kind of, you know, scaling up and doing those sorts of things. The other interesting thing is the business aspects, because when, you know, because we do create a shrink wrap product, right? We do, you know, obviously try and figure out how to find the right kind of developers out there and make sure they can, you know, get access to it and that kind of stuff. And so that's been a kind of an interesting change for me. I've always been down in the engine room, kind of tweaking and getting the spark plugs in there, you know, making sure I can go to 100,000 miles on that sucker, you know, before changing the transmission, you know, all the rest of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of interesting just with respect to getting up and more directly where the users are interfacing more, you know, kind of a end user kind of product or end developer, you know, tester kind of product. That's been interesting. Going through some of the business things and stuff like that and figuring out, you know, that. I think I've also picked up on doing a lot more kind of keynotes and outreach with customers and stuff, which has been a ton of fun.
Sure.
So it is kind of fun because it is essentially the other side of the coin, of the same coin, you know, is the way I kind of think of it. So
probably the coin that, you know, you used to like kind of look at and kind of go, let the business people deal with it, man.
Yeah, you know, look, the collector, let's talk about heaps, you know,
exactly.
That kind of stuff. Now, I really do still love the technology.
Sure.
That's probably one of the, it is one of the things I really love about Microsoft is that coming from an engineering culture, someone like me, who's been at the company for pretty close to 17 years now, really come from a developer background, you know, build products, really enjoy that. You know, have an opportunity to work on products like Windows. I've got code in Windows. I've got code, you know, kind of running in a lot of places. I wrote a bunch of the stuff that was one of the developers anyway on the CLR originally and other products like that. That's kind of fun.
And yeah.
Have the opportunity to then step up and say, well, great, let's. I'd love to go run a business. That seems like a good kind of challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and sometime 20 years ago, I got an accounting degree. So let's go dust off that and see what's going on. So anyway, that's a lot of fun.
So which, you know, just out of curiosity, because which one's harder?
There's different kind of challenges on both, right? I would say that when I was doing the more kind of development kind of work, the part that I really enjoyed is getting really deeper in the architecture. That was incredibly fun on the CLR to sit down with people like, you know, Patrick and Brian Harry and, you know, Chris Broom. There's a bunch of us, you know, when we were first creating the product.
Absolutely.
Right? Can you imagine sitting at the whiteboard with these guys?
Amazing.
And we having debates around the values of ref count to GC versus, you know, GC technologies, the code generation. It really forces you to up your technology game, and that is a significant amount of fun because it forces you to really think on an engineering perspective. Mm-hmm. And really the experience I gained there was incredibly valuable with respect to figuring stuff out. When you get into the more, you know, kind of let's go run the business side of it, I still don't shy away from the technology. I think myself, Scott Guthrie, you know, Brian, a bunch of us, frankly, I think we'd be bored stiff if we weren't doing something that didn't have a lot of technology associated with it.
Sure.
So still go do that. But I can't really dive deep. That's kind of not doing my job if I'm spending all my time diving deep into the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, I'm concentrating more on, you know, kind of user scenarios and making sure that our developers are, you know, our developer base is getting exactly what they want, that kind of stuff. So it's a different kind of challenge. You know, more speaking engagements, more customer outreach, more kind of, you know, planning and those sorts of things. They're both fun. They're just, you know, I love the fact that the company will have technical fellows and corporate vice presidents and, you know, kind of both tracks. That's a good thing.
It's awesome, man. Well, hey, it's great to talk to you again. Great job, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheers.